To another episode of What's the Buzz About? This week, we're going to talk about Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is actually one of my top five. No. Three. No. Five movies. But if I was asked to recite them right now, I don't know what they are. So, a little bit of rundown on this movie for those of you who don't know anything about Raiders. First of all, you should probably turn this off and go watch the movie. But Indiana Jones, aka Harrison Ford, aka Hottie of the Century, is an archaeologist who works as a professor, but really is just a kick-ass archaeologist who discovers mystical things and half fights crime and saves damsels in distress because it was the 80s and damsels were always in distress. Also, the bad guy from Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man 2 screws over Harrison Ford real early in this movie. That's why you know he's typecast as a bad guy. Not because of his tentacle arms in Spider-Man 2, because of this. No one screws over Harrison Ford and gets away with it. Okay, so more of the plot. So it's in the 30s, and Indiana Jones is amazing, but he has this rival because apparently archaeologists are, like, there's a lot of them. And you can have a rival, even though I don't know one single archaeologist who fights crime and finds buried treasure, but whatever. And this rival archaeologist kind of screws Indy over at the beginning of the film. But don't worry, guys. Harrison saves the day. Of the many things that separates me and Indiana Jones, one of the biggest things is that he knows to think ahead in different situations. So he's about to go into this cave, and they're looking for this artifact, like a doll's head. And before he goes in, he's like, hey, I'm going to take a bit of dirt and put it in a sack because I might need this later. I have never done that, nor will I probably ever think to do that. So just reason one why Indiana Jones is smarter and better than me. Okay, number two, why Indiana Jones is better than me. He had some big spiders on his back and he didn't flinch. I couldn't even look at the screen during that time. Same with Home Alone 1. I know exactly when it comes and I look away because I'm that much of a scaredy cat. But I do have a one-up on him because I am not afraid of snakes. And I think Indiana Jones may be afraid of snakes. He also keeps his cool in every situation. It's almost like it was written that way, but I'm not taking anything away from Harrison Ford because Dreamboat! Ugh. Be still my beating heart. So, Spider-Man 2 guy is like, hey, it's really easy. Why don't we just go for it? And Harrison Ford's like, that's what scares me. It's too easy. Well, then I guess I'm scary, Harrison Ford. Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Just kidding. So he grabs his dirt bag from earlier that he preemptively was like, I'm gonna need this later. He grabs that out of his jacket or satchel and does a little swap of the gold doll head. And we all think, Indiana's got this. And even he is a little cocky. But no, bro. This ancient temple knows exactly what's going down. And 8 minutes into this movie, we get one of the most iconic scenes of all cinema. This big old rock just chasing after Indiana. But since it's 8 minutes into a almost 2-hour movie, we know that nothing actually is going to happen to him. So, dun dun dun! Also, Spider-Man 2 Man is a dick. He leaves Indiana Jones basically to fall to his death. But again, 8 minutes in, he doesn't. But in exactly-ish 2 minutes, he will get his revenge. A big spike will be through his head once Indiana Jones gets past a certain area. Gosh, so many spider webs. I could never be an archaeologist. Okay, so the bad guy just screwed over Harrison Ford by taking his little gold statue once he gets out of the cave and does all of the hard work for it and just takes it away like the typical man. But I forgot where I was going with this. So, he basically screws over Indiana Jones. And so he gets a little group of natives to help him out. Because Harrison Ford can't communicate to them how bad of a person he is. So this guy's name is Belloc. And I think it's funny because it kind of sounds like buttocks. And butts are funny. Oh, and you see some butts. Native butts. Gosh, the theme song. The theme tune of this movie. Dun 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 dun. John Williams, bravo. I wonder what type of house, nay, castle, John Williams lives in for having done pretty much the music to anything that you ever can think of ever. Like Star Wars, Harry Potter, Indiana Jones, Jaws? Jaws. So, he must just live in a big castle made out of gold and chocolate, because I would love a house made out of chocolate. So we are now transported. So he escapes with his friend in an airplane that has a snake, and he whines about that snake for a minute, but he escapes. So we are transported into his classroom, where he is a professor of archaeology, and it is his 9 to 5 or whatever school hours are. And he is teaching how X never ever marks the spot. Just kidding. That's Last Crusade. I'm getting my Indianas mixed up. But not like the state. But this is the scene while he's in his classroom teaching all of these 1930s children that a couple of the girls have on their eyelids, love you, because it's Harrison Ford. And honestly, I don't blame him. That man is 77 years old. I would still go out on a classy date with that man. So while we have a second, his friend Brody, who is another one of the main characters, a little clumsy, a little ditzy, has good intentions, but wouldn't be one of the people I would want to pick for any type of mission, comes to him. And Brody comes to his classroom and tells him that there's some important men, if you will, that want to come and talk to him about a super secret mission that only Indiana Jones can handle. Because why would anyone else go to, you know, the FBI or CIA or MI6? What was James Bond doing today? We don't know. He was on vacation. So were the Avengers. Hence, Indiana Jones comes out. They go to him and they're like, hey, we need your help because this artifact is old and you know how to deal with old things because it's 1930 something and everything is old. But it's a good thing that these two guys come. One looks like he should be in a donut commercial. Nothing to do with his weight. All good with that. It's just kind of like his mustache. He's kind of giving off like a very, like, I'm a police officer vibe, but like who likes donuts? Like a police officer from like a 1980s film. And the other guy looks like he could be a butler in literally any other film. He's got like this very tall, slanky, but like Jeeves type feeling to him. And he's kind of like the little know-it-all-y guy, like out of the two of them. So there's Donut Police Officer and then Jeeves Wannabe, and they come to him and they're like, hey, there is this big fancy thing and your mentor has gone missing and we need your help to help get him back. But not only is that a complication in itself because conflict of interest and things like that, but Indy had a love affair with this guy's daughter. So complications are arising. Marion, who is really cool because she doesn't take a lot of Indiana Jones's shit, which I really appreciate as a strong female character in this film. But I say that and she kind of gives off like this badass like persona about her at the beginning when we first see her. She owns her own bar. She is like kind of sassy and feisty, kind of like how I hope I will be when I'm old and cranky. Well, I'm already cranky, but older and cranky. And she's like this really strong person. But of course, as soon as Indiana Jones is introduced into the scenario, she becomes a damsel in distress. And shame on you, movie. She could do something. She could hit someone or kick someone. She's not a very good fighter. And you'll probably hear me gab on about that in a little while. So not only do we know that the good guy is going to win in this movie because it's Harrison Ford, and we just are in the middle of this huge Star Wars craze because this came out in 81 and Empire had just come out and everyone loves Harrison Ford and he's not going to lose. But not only do we know he's going to win because of who he is, the bad guys are the friggin' Nazis. No one would ever think that Indiana Jones is not going to win out this fight. No one likes Nazis. Also, what is it with movies when they open a book to the exact page that they need it to be at? Like, as someone who knows a little bit about producing, I get it. Like, you don't have time to waste and you don't want to, like, cut all that shit and, like, make it work. But so unrealistic. Like, oh, look. I'm so lucky I just opened it to the exact right spot. No. No. But I guess you're lucky enough to not be murdered or killed or die in all of the other scenarios of this movie, so I guess why not be open to the exact right page on the paper? No, that's wrong. Why not be opening the book to the exact right page that you're supposed to? Oh god, I made this drink too strong. Shake it off. Shake it off. Indiana Jones is like, okay, I will go find this ark for you, but I want the museum to get it when I'm done. What is with this man and his love for museums? Because this is not the first time that this happens throughout the series. He really wants the museums to benefit from things, which is great, but is he getting like a bribe from the museums? Is he like boning someone who works at the museums? They never kind of say his connection other than Indiana Jones equals great guy who loves museums. And before he leaves on his trip, him and Brody are packing together because apparently that's a two-man job. And Brody's just like, hey, there's a reason this ark hasn't been found in like the hundreds and thousands or whatever's of years that it's been apparently in existence. And it's something that's not meant to be messed with, basically. Let's do it anyways. Because reasons and plots. They get on a Pan American flight. 1930s, bro. Also, how hard is it to get to be on an airplane? Oh, wait, sorry. I have to stop. Indiana Jones was like, I don't need the booze you're about to give me. If someone offers you free booze on an airplane, you take that. You take that for later. You take that for any reason at all. You take that. And he just sleeps. He's airplaning wrong. I forgot what I was saying. Oh, yeah, I remembered. I want stairs on an airplane. How hard is it to get that? And all these old-timey movies are like, I'm going to walk up the spiral staircase up. Nope. Spiral staircase up to first class because I'm a baller. I want a spiral staircase. I always get put on a plane and I'm shoved to the back and I have to go to the back and they're just like, there's a good chance you're going to have to check that bag. And I look at them and I'm like, no way. I paid for this. I get my carry-on. And I look him dead in the eye and I'm just like, you're going to have to rip this out of my cold, dead hands. Anyways, I sidetracked. So now we are transported to somewhere that's not America. And Marion and this big, big lady are in this drinking game where they keep taking shots to see who's going to win. Who's going to not throw up. And I, for some reason, am transported back to Charlie's Angels 2, Full Throttle, where Drew Barrymore does the same thing, acts like she's going to throw up, and then steals some keys. Which is not what happens here, because Marion wins, and she's a rock star. So apparently, that means everyone get the hell out of my bar, because that's what everyone does. They all leave. And it's, you know, something's about to go down because it gets a little cold, it gets a little windy, and then you see Indiana Jones's shadow figure in the bar. Oh, that smile. Harrison, don't do that smile. Oh, and she clocks him in the face. So Indiana Jones is all kind of a dick about it and is just like, hey, we had some bad blood. but you knew what you were doing when you got in a relationship with me. And she was like, no, we were supposed to be in love. So, yeah. So she tells him basically to get out. So he needs this medallion-y thing from Marion because it was her dad's. And apparently it unlocks the treasures of the deep depths of God. And she's badass and she just laughs and is like, come back tomorrow because I said so. So he leaves with a little look that he gives her and he's supposed to come back tomorrow. Well, Indiana Jones is not the only man looking for it. This German fella who looks a little creepy comes in a few minutes after. And he has a few more tricks up his sleeve because he's willing to hurt her in various ways to get what he wants. But don't worry, Indiana Jones comes to the rescue. Also, this little German guy is like the creepiest guy ever. He looks like a little worm with glasses and he kind of laughs in between what he's saying. So he goes, we're not hungry. Thirsty. Whatever. They're not interested in ingesting things into their bodies. They want the golden compass. But she doesn't want to give it because she already made a deal with Indiana Jones for some amount of money. And that's what she's going to do. Plus, he's creepy and German. But none of the people behind him are creepy or German. So I'm not really sure how they joined his little squad. Like, maybe he put out like a Craigslist ad or something and was like, hey, creepy henchmen wanted, please come find me. And they all come, but they don't actually say any words, so they're not that scary. There's a floaty in my drink, and I'm not happy with it. It's pretty full, too, so I don't want to just, like, abandon ship. So I keep, like, blowing on it to see if it'll help, and it just keeps coming back. Okay, so Indiana Jones comes in, and he's like, ha, not on my time. He starts blowing up the joint, shooting everyone he can find, like hand-to-hand combating things. Marion picks up like a fire stick, which is a log on fire, and she attacks people with that too while she's drinking booze that's falling out, and that's really funny. But they're basically just going to town on these people, and they're winning because they're the good guys, and that's who we're rooting for. There's a lot of cool special effects in this scene, and I think that the special effects department doesn't get their kudos as much as they should. So this is for you, special effects department. Bravo. Wait, is fire a special effect? Or is that part of like the stunt department? I don't really know. So long story short and really long, Indiana Jones and Marion partner up. They get the medallion, but the bad guy who was in this fiery crash gets half of the medallion on his hand because it is burned into his flesh. And he thinks that that's good enough, but it's not because there's actually two sides of the medallion and only Indiana Jones and partner have that. So that will be important later on. And then we see classic Indiana Jones where they're flying and then there's a map and it shows a little red line. It's like, this is where we're going to. So they're going to Cairo and they meet with one of their other good friends because apparently Indiana Jones has friends all over the place. Salah is his name and they are in Cairo and oh my God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Harrison Ford has a couple of buttons undone. And there's a monkey in the scene and I know I say this a lot, but spoiler alert, things don't end well for the monkey. So if you're not into that type of thing, which I am normally not, I hate animal violence, kill all of the people in the movie, I don't care, just don't hurt the dog. It does not end well for this monkey. And I don't love that. But he is a traitor. And I don't look during that time, just like spiders. So know that that happens and look away when he gets a little too friendly with some dates later on. The food, not a girl or something. Not a girl monkey. He's not getting too friendly with a girl monkey and she's like, hashtag me too. This is like a date, as in like the fruit thing that he eats. And it's poisoned. So, vegetable? What is a date? I don't know. It's been too long since I've been on one. Okay, so they're walking along the streets of Cairo, and Marion's grown attached to this monkey, which she shouldn't, but she doesn't know that yet. And they have like all this food in their hand, including the dates. And the monkey runs off and she's like, hey, where are you going? And Indiana Jones is so suave. It's just like, here, eat a date. That monkey knows where he's going. He lives here. You don't. Well, little do they know, this monkey is going to its real owner, Pirate Douchebag. And I call him that because he has an eye patch. And no one who doesn't have an eye patch isn't a pirate. Wait. What? He has an eye patch, therefore, hence, he is a pirate. That's the logic I'm going for. Basically, I think the eye patch is a way of showing the audience that he's a bad guy. And bravo, because that is a great way to show that someone is a bad guy. Eye patch. So we learn from this that the monkey is working on the wrong side of the law. The wrong side of Indiana Jones. Just the wrong side. But it's not the monkey's fault. He was trained that way. We are now, let me check, 38 minutes and 22 seconds into this film. And the iconic scene is about to come up. The second iconic scene of the movie. And these people just start running at Indiana Jones and Marion. And you can tell they're bad guys by the music, because it goes doo-doo-doo, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, which is fight music. And we know that they're bad. So he's fighting them, and they're swording each other because they're stupid. And he throws her into this hay wagon, and it starts taking off. And it's like Indiana Jones didn't realize that this wagon on wheels was about to move, but it was. So they're in the fight. Nope. They're in a scene. Ugh. They're in a fight scene in the middle of Cairo, and they're just going at it. And Marianne's like, I got this pan. I'ma hurt you. And this guy with bad teeth brings up a knife, and she runs away. But, you know, I can't blame her. I would probably run away with a guy, from a guy with bad teeth and a knife in their hand. But she holds her own. She ends up knocking him out and running. But Indiana Jones fights off like a bazillion guys, and Marion hides in a basket. And she would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for that meddling monkey who totally gave away her spot. And he's a dick. Okay, here it is. Iconic scene. This big old guy with a big old sword is like, hey, look what I can do, Indiana Jones. And Indiana Jones is so fucking tired. Oops. So tired. He just shoots him with a gun and he falls down in the middle of all these people. Which is actually hilarious because Harrison Ford was just so friggin' tired and didn't want to deal with that anymore. Have I mentioned yet just how attractive Harrison Ford is? Only about a million times. So, long story short, too late, Indiana Jones and Marion get separated. And there's an explosion in front of his face. And he thinks that Marion's dead. So he is soups depressed, just hanging out with his monkey, drinking some drink. But again, to all of the viewers who have seen this, and that should be 1,000% of you, because I don't paint a good picture, she is not dead. So he is mourning for his girl, like the time of day, and these gentlemen bring him to his arch nemesis, Belloc. Or buttocks, depending on how you want to say it, to amuse yourself for the day. And he's hookahing, which, is that racist, or is that just like an acceptable thing to show where you are at? I'm not really sure. So it's Belloc and Indiana Jones and this monkey, because after Marion's supposedly quote-unquote death, he likes the monkey now. And they have a pish-posh bosh about how they're equals because they're two sides of the same coin, and one's pure evil and one's pure goodness and blah blah blah. Basically, and heads up, this is a tangent, it's the Batman Lego scenario, or the Lego Batman as it is, where you need your arch nemesis to be able to define who you are. So it's like how the little Joker, played by Zach Galifianakis, is just so super sad that Batman does not see him as his arch rival, And the whole movie is about him being like, hey, I'm your rival. And he's like, you know what? I don't really care. And then eventually I grow tired of the movie because it grows hard and tries to teach kids a lesson, which I'm not into. But for that little bit of it, I really admire the whole Joker, Batman, sad, you're not part of my arch nemesis collaboration ideation. I don't remember where it's going with this, but anyways, a hero needs a nemesis to be a hero, much like Enrique Iglesias, where I can be your hero, baby, except I can't, because some people just want to watch the world burn. So I sent my partner in crime a picture of me podcasting, and she goes, also, it looks like you're drinking Windex. I am. It's more potent, and it gets into my veins faster. So shout out to you, boo. In actuality, it's one of those like squirter things that you can get in aisles that have zero calories, but they like sweeten your drink artificially, like a Mio's or so, or whatever the Kroger brand is. And it's Jelly Belly and it's blue raspberry, and you mix that with vodka and you can't taste the vodka, which is dangerous and why I'm talking like a weird little basic bitch robot. This is the part of the show where Larry comes out and sings a silly song. I'm kidding. 33% of you we'll get that reference. This is the part of the show where, as I mentioned earlier, those dates, they get poisoned. So this little family was preparing some dates for Indiana Jones and his friends to enjoy. And this monkey comes in and is like, hey, no, that's not true. Monkeys can't do that. This guy comes in and is like, hey, I'm going to dash this with a little bit of toxic salt and pepper, if you know what I mean. Poison. And so this little kid brings out these dates to Indiana Jones and his boy, Salah. And he's tossing around this date and you're just like, you're just sitting in anticipation, right? Because you don't know if Indiana Jones is going to eat this date or not. Actually, we do because it's a movie. But pretend that you are a stupid viewer and you don't know. And you're sitting at the edge of your seat and you're just thinking, oh my God, Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford, don't eat that. It's poison. He doesn't eat it. The monkey eats it. And the monkey dies. And that's sad. So let's take a second to remember this monkey who died, who fake died in this movie. But you know what? The monkey didn't deserve that. The person deserved that. So I'm giving that person a gesture with my fingers. Yeah, take that. And I'm giving some respect to that monkey who was a loyal companion to the wrong person. So the actual important part of this scene that I just totally skipped upon, and really, I so implore you for this video and for the rest of the videos to not click on them and listen to them. If you have not seen the movie already, because this is not good storytelling. This is just some girl rambling on about what she thinks about in the spur of the moment while she's watching this movie and getting drunk alone, which is pathetic. I'm kidding. It's really fulfilling. So, Jesus, I forgot what I was saying. But I'm sure it was important. Yeah. Okay, so they slow-mo this grape thing because his friend realizes that they are tampered with because of the whole monkey sitch that I just told you about. So that's a bad scene, and we're not looking. Okay, it's over. That's what I was talking about. So they realize that the worker bees that are digging for this ark are digging in the wrong place because bad guy slurs a lot. Only got one handprint, like one side injected into his skin of the emblem that they needed. And there was two sides of it. And he only got that one side. So they are digging in the wrong coordinates. And that's what they realized during that monkey death scene, that they are digging in the wrong place. So one up on our heroes of the movie and 1,000 thumb ups down of all the bad guys, because there are about 1,000 bad guys working, and bad camels. They're bad camels because they're working on the wrong side of the team for this movie. But those camels are probably just going about their own day, being like, hey, I'm getting fed, I'm getting water. This is a good day as a camel. And most days as camels in movies are not that good because they're camels and they're in Egypt movies and there's not a lot of water or like wealth or food and stuff in those types of movies usually. Anyways, long story short, camels got to do what a camel's got to do. So Indiana Jones goes to where they're all digging because they found this map room, and that's where you stick the emblem in, and like when the sun hits it, it shows you where you're supposed to go to find the Ark. But because they only have half of the emblem, they only know like half the information. So he goes into this map room that the Nazis already found, and he is in like this full garb, and there's like hieroglyphics all over the walls, and there's like a little miniature version of the city, which is really quite impressive. And he finds the sphere at the right height with the right emblem, and it shows him the right place to go. Side note, guys, this is the best way to watch a movie. Literally everything is entertaining, and it's like talking to a friend, like hundreds of friends. Just kidding, like fives of friends. So who made this little replica of the city that's just chilling in this like dirty basement? And how is it accurate by today's standards? And by that I mean like 1930s standards when this takes place, because you have to assume that this like hidden cave replica was made thousands of years ago, and then 1930s come by, Indiana Jones gets lured into the bottom of it, and there's just a little replica of a city, and they're just like, oh, this is still intact, this still makes sense of what happened today. That's not true. There's probably like a Sandals Are Us or like Get Your Period Get Your Pyramids Here store, because it's Cairo and it's in the 30s, and I don't know what else happens in the 30s. So there's that. So Indiana Jones goes down into this hole and he puts his light stick where it's supposed to be, and the light shines and he writes down coordinates, and then they lure down some like flaggage to get him out of this hole, and he emerges and he's just like walking through town, like tent town, like it's no big deal. And of course he suddenly falls into the tent where Marion is, and she's like stuck on this pole, and she has like this like handkerchief in her mouth so she can't talk, and he like pulls it down, and they're just like, oh my god, I can't believe that I've just found you, this is crazy. And they're both so excited to see each other. Marion, because she wants to get free of this place. And Indiana Jones, because he secretly loves her. And then he realizes he can't set her free, or else the Nazis will know that he knows that they know that they don't know that they know. And so he sticks that rag back in her mouth and is like, shh, this is for our own good. And she's equally pissed by now, and I cannot blame her. I would so be too. And she figures she has to get herself out of the situation. And she will. Ish. Also, side note, I live with my parents, and temporarily, don't give me that, and I just heard the sound that all of us hear and get excited for. Champagne being uncorked. I heard it from upstairs. And that's a beautiful noise. That means I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. I'm not sure if I said I left or not, but I'm back. There's a lot of digging in this movie for being a movie about adventure. I feel like I haven't said words in a while, and that's because, well, you guys don't know that because I'm just gonna cut all that shit out, but that's because they're just really doing boring things. And I love this movie more than most movies ever. And I love movies more than anything. But they're doing a lot of digging. But Indiana Jones and crew, they find what they're looking for. I feel like that should be a song. When you find what you're looking for, you won't need it anymore. I don't know. First gut reaction, guys. So, they find what they're looking for. They dig it out of the ground, of the dirt, that looks like a little, like, graham crackers. But it's not. Probably. And, of course, in the middle, like, of what they're looking for in this, like, little square divot, is this, like, underground layer of snakeage and, like, all of these snakes and, like, snake statues. And as soon as he finds the opening and they tear it off, there's a big old snake looking at him in his face. And it's just like, Snake Town. And apparently, that's what's going on. Now, of all of the things that could be down there, let's hold for the fact that they've probably been down there for thousands of years. How are those snakes alive? There must be a way out. But of all of the things that could be down there, what are the odds that it is of the person who found its worst fear ever? Like a one in a bazillion. I just did the math on my hand and calculator. And it's a one in a bazillion. So that's movie magic for you, bro. So I told you that Indiana Jones met up with a Marion. No, she's alive now. No, she's not dead. Like, was about to free her and then didn't because of reasons. And, like, put her back so that it looks like it's a real thing. Well, then, Belloc comes back to Marion and feeds her because he has a little crush on her because she's the only girl we've seen in this entire movie. And if I was surrounded by a bazillion other people of my own gender, I would still have self-control, but this is a guy movie in the 80s, and he doesn't, so he's like, hey, you're a girl, I'm lonely, wear this dress, and she puts it on, and she eats his food, because she's starving, and she found a way out, and that's impressive, and she's gonna take it, she's gonna take that way out. So, and this isn't happening on screen yet, I just know it's about to happen, so she puts this dress on and he's like, oh my god, you look so great in it. And she's like, oh, I know. And then she picks up a knife that she finds lying around and is like, haha, I'm gonna murder you. Except it's after they've had a bazillion shots and he thinks that she ain't shit because she's a girl and can't handle her alcohol, but she can. So they're both like shooting liquor. And then she like takes the knife out and is like, hey, brah, I'ma escape if that's okay with you. And he's just like, ha, 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 ha. Except creepy old Nazi comes by and is just like, where are you going, Fraulein? And then she doesn't escape. Seriously, here's the problem with reviewing movies that you know basically by the back of your hand. Whoa, that's new on that. Anyways, it's like, you are 10 minutes above whatever is happening on screen and you've already told your audience what's about to happen because you know what's about to happen, but it takes like 7.5 to 9.5 minutes for Marion to actually be like, hey, let's get drunk, let's watch TV, like, let's listen to podcasts, and then we're gonna grab this knife and then threaten you, and then the Nazi guy comes in. And I know to you guys it'll seem like mere milliseconds, but I just waited a while and I just got more and more drinks and I'm just like, hey, I'm getting worse over here. This isn't going to be good for the rest of this podcast. And then all this stuff shakes out. So Marion, like, went out to Nazi boy and then was like, oh, shh, then I got to go back. Because Nazi boy was like, no, I'm not attracted to you. You sit down. And she hides behind Belloc because, he's attracted to her because she's a girl and she's like the only girl within that area and he wants to get in on that. So that's what's happening on storyline B. Storyline A, because storyline A is anything that's happening with Harrison Ford. Indiana Jones and friend are down into the pit that they found by themselves, and because they hit both of the sides of the medallion. I feel like I said the very Italian. Both of the sides of the medallion. Nope, that's racist. They find the ark. Good for them. And they pull it out and then they like carry it across some ways. And then adventure ensues. Because it can't be that easy and we're still only like halfway through the film. Maybe a little more, but basically only halfway through the film. And they found the Ark. So what has to happen, movie buffs? What has to happen? The bad guys have to get... That's what has to happen. There has to be some sort of internal conflict or external conflict that happens where they finally get what they've been searching for. And then they lose it like a bunch of idiots, because that's what happens. People get what they finally have been working for, and then they lose it like a bunch of idiots or something like that. So I diverged a few times, I feel, but I know that I told you that Marion was in her special place with the bad guys, and Indiana Jones was in his hole with the Ark, and he gets it upstairs, but he's still downstairs because of ropes and things. But then the bad guys, they're like, hey, we see you down there. How convenient of the plot, but we see you down there. You're down there in this big old pit. And instead of shooting you, which any normal person would do if they're trying to get rid of a thorn in their side, they're like, hey, you know what would be fun is closing you in on this snake pit and like leaving you there for death. But we're not going to do that alone. We're going to throw down Marion too, because reasons and plot movement and movies. So that's what happens. Shocker. He's down in this hole with all these snakes. Marion gets thrown down there in her little white wedding dress. It looks very weddingy. And then Belloc is all like, dude, that's my girl. Why'd you do that? And the Nazis are like, hey, we're Nazis. We don't care about your feelings. And he's just like, okay, cool. Because you're Nazis. You're going to kill me. So I'll stop talking. And then we focus on Indiana Jones and Marion. And they're just in this deep cave full of snakes. And like I said earlier, Indiana Jones is afraid of snakes. Everyone is entitled to their own fear. Mine, I already said. Other people's, they keep to themselves. That's fine. Maybe it's heights. Maybe it's closed spaces. I don't know what it is. Everyone's allowed to their one main fear. Every other fear after that, you need to get the fuck over. Because stop it. You're only allowed one fear. That's fine. You're not allowed any other fears, or else you're a damaged human being. Like me. I don't remember where I left off, but they're in this hole. And they're arguing because sexual tension. And he is afraid of snakes, and she's like, I don't care. And there's some fighting going on, and she has a fire stick known as a torch, and she's like, I'm gonna get these snakes away from me. And there's like a bazillion snakes down there. Like, how many snakes would actually be down there in this scenario? Not that many. They'd probably all die, because there's actually no light source, no food source. There's just a bunch of freaking snakes. And it looks cool for the movie, but there's a snake like statue, there's a snake like person, everything's a snake. What are the odds? There are no odds to even calculate. It's that minuscule. There's a lot of snakes. And whoa, I got way too mic. I got way too close from the mic for that. I feel like I'm on a radio show, like WVDD. VDD? That sounds like a terrible radio show. I'm like a white newscaster who doesn't know anything about sports. Wait, what? So Marion's not having a good time in this cave thing, because the snakes are what's bad with Indy, but there's like all these dead corpses that are just terrifying Marion. And I'm not really sure where all these corpses came from, because how many people have found this Ark? And if that many people have found this Ark, why aren't there movies about them? Maybe because they died down in that dungeon hole in Cairo. I don't know. But there's like a lot of people that found this cave. Like a lot. Like at least 40. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's 40 people who have found the Ark of the Covenant and who are just like, you know what? Never mind. Close the door. With me in it. I'm okay with that. And that means, like, if there was 40 people who found the Ark, there's, like, 85 people who were hunting the Ark, too. And they were, like, their arch nemesis. And they were trying to find the Ark. And they enclosed them in the Ark Cave. That's a lot of nemesis. That sounds like yoga, like namaste. I actually don't know what that sounds like. I've never done yoga. But that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people to die in that cave without any explanation. That really just seems like a movie decision that was made to freak out Marion. But let's time warp a little bit, taking a note from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And we'll do a time warp into how they get out of this cave, because they find a way out. Because Indiana Jones is Indiana Jones. And so they are trying to escape with their freedom. And we get to this really cool scene where Indiana Jones is trying to fight the crap out of this guy by an airplane. And this guy's huge. Like, let's say 3 times as big as Indiana Jones. Like, muscular and tall and kind of looks like he would be in, like, a circus act. But, like, as the strong man. But, like, not, because he's really just normal proportions. But 1980s filming is trying to show you he's, like, huge. But he's really quite the same size as Harrison Ford. Anyways, they are fighting near this airplane, and Indiana Jones even, like, kicks him in the nuts, and he's like, I feel nothing. I'm really strong. So they're fighting, and this really great scene comes in, and it's just a baller of a scene, because he's like, hey, I know I'm the good guy, but I'm about to make this bad guy back up or fall into an airplane blade. And he's gonna kill the crap out of this guy and, like, rip him into shreds. And that's what he does. That's what little airplane number one does. He just rips bad guy, strong man, into shreds. You can definitely hear bits of, like, Star Wars anthem type songs in the background if you listen closely. If you're like, oh, hey, John Williams did this and Star Wars, it'll be like, do, 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 which is the background of this, but you'll want it to go, do, 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 which is a Star Wars song, not an Indiana Jones song, but very heavily influenced, as both of them are, because they're written by the same person who's a genius, but, like, 3% lazy, that just kind of uses some of the same tunes and melotones. That's not a word. I just made that up. It is a word, but not in the context that I'm using it. But uses those as, like, little nuggets of sound. Yeah. Does anyone else remember those chicken nuggets from McDonald's that were plastic that you could get as, like, a toy? They were, like, really big around Halloween, and you could, like, dress them up in different characters. And, like, one was, like, a lizard, and one was a vampire, and one was a mummy. Those are really cool. And I hope I just, like, blew your mind for a second about the things you just forgot from childhood. If not, I just went on a random tangent. Tangent? Tandent? What? Honestly, I wish I could tell you where we were at, but I honestly don't know. So Indiana Jones is following some people who have the Ark and some cars and Marion somewhere, and he's grinding on the floor because he has some chains hooked up to the bottom of this truck, and he's just like, I'm just going to hang on to this chain and follow you, and I'm just going to, like, scrape my bells on the bottom of the floor. And you know what? That looks terribly uncomfortable. And I'm pretty sure it wouldn't work out as gracefully as this movie makes you think. Like, you can't just scrape your belly against the bottom of, like, a dirt, rocky floor in the desert and it not hurt. It's gonna hurt. Indiana Jones doesn't show any sort of pain. He's just like, I'm Indy, I can do this, whatever. And he gets into this car, and there's just this big old long car chase. And you know, one of my least favorite things about cinema, and I love pretty much every part. I don't like car chases. They're really, really just freaking boring to me. And I get it. They look like the angles and the special effects and, like, the music and everything that goes into a car chase is incredible. And it's a bit of masterpiece in itself, because you're really making the viewer feel like they're there. I hate them. I really do. I think that they are space fillers. They are there to show you, oh, look, there's a car chase happening, and I get that, but I really just need to see the very beginning of how they get into that and the very, very end. I don't need 10 minutes of back and forth car dialogue in between each other. I don't. I really dislike it because it's just like, you know, it doesn't matter what happens in between. It's really just how it ends that matters. And I guess you could say that about movies in general. But you really are supposed to build, like, emotional connections and, like, you're supposed to find humor and character and blah, 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 blah throughout films. But, like, a car chase is just like, hey, Mechanical Part 1 is right behind Mechanical Part 2. Here's why, and here's why that matters. And then, like, 8 minutes later, you see why Mechanical Part 1 actually beat Mechanical Part 2. And here's why that matters. And I just think that it's a big, giant, solid waste of time. And then it doesn't impact the story or the emotions or the characters. Like, one easy means a bit. But that's just me. I'm normally wrong about, like, pretty much everything. So, that's over. Okay, well, I mumbled through a lot of what was happening. So if you're lost, I don't blame you. I actually blame you if you are lost. Wait, aren't lost. Stuff and things. So I looked this up on Wikipedia because I am watching the movie, but I don't remember what I talked about and what I didn't talk about. So, Wikipedia states, the panicked Nazi load the Ark onto a truck, but Indy manages to catch up on horseback because horses and trucks ain't no match for each other. Hijack the truck and make arrangements to transport the Ark to London aboard tramp steamer Bantu Wind. So they're on a boat, and they're taking the Ark back to London, supposedly. But don't worry, Nazis intercept the following day after Indiana and Marion have some, like, special connection, but he falls asleep because reasons. So apparently they do it because Marion wakes up with no clothes on and Harrison's all, like, disheveled, and I'm just feeling really good because of all the alcohol before bed. And there's all these boats, and there's this one submarine that looks really flashy because it's got, like, 5 guys standing on the top of it looking all, like, super cool. Like, we own these waters, yo! And they're standing there, and it reminds me of a little bit of that Das Boot. And I'm not going to spoiler alert that movie because that is a different movie. And that's a different spoiler, but it's Nazis. And do things end well for Nazis usually? No. But Marion and Indiana are on this boat with the Ark, and they're going back to London because jolly old London town is a safe place for them. And all of these Nazis come aboard and are like, hey, you didn't think you'd get away so quickly, did you? And they are like, nope. And they take that Ark back. Because why not? And because it's a movie. And because there's tension, both sexual and actionful. Tension. Hey, does anyone else want donuts right now? I could use a donut. Like a sprinkled one? Because sprinkled are full of happiness. But also like a custard one, like a good custard. Not like a crappy custard that's mostly sugar. Like an actual made of custard one. So once the Nazis come aboard the ship, they can't find Jones. Because he's very hard to find, even though all these cameras are on him. But he stows aboard the other ship, the Nazi ship. And he follows them to Nazi headquarters in Germs. And Indiana Jones is just staring at Marion and Nazis across from, like, his hidden little area because he's stowed aboard. And is watching them and Belloc interact with each other. And he's just like, oh, I'm Indiana. I don't actually have any consequences or anything or blah, blah, blah. And he puts on a little Nazi uniform after he, like, strikes one out. And it's too small for him. And it's all adorable. And it's cute. And it's Indiana Jones. And in this movie. And why it makes this movie. And I get it. I get it all. But I really really, really dislike The Big Bang Theory for telling me that all of this movie would have happened exactly as all of this movie happened, with or without Indiana Jones. So if you're not a fan of that show, or you think you're too cool for school for that show, or if you've never seen that show, they make a point of saying that everything in Raiders would have happened without... that everything in Raiders would have happened in Raiders with or without Indiana Jones. The outcome would have been the same. The Nazis would have found the Ark, they would have opened the Ark, and they all would have gone to hell. That hasn't happened yet, so forget you heard that, but that's what happens. Also, can I comment that the Nazis are really treating the Ark of the Covenant like a Christmas tree ornament? But a fancy Christmas tree ornament. They're like, they're putting it in some padding, and they're like, they're placing it in a, like a solid box, like either cardboard or wood, but they are just like, they're just like, oh, hey, it doesn't really matter. We're just going to like keep this a little bit separate from everything else. We're still going to like transport it by boat and transport it by like hanging air cliffs and like put it in the desert. And like, it really doesn't matter because it's just an ornament, but we're going to treat it like it's like a little bit less desirable so that it actually knows its place. But we actually think the world of it. So please don't explode and melt all of our faces down. So Indiana Jones, trying to be a big, bad guy, is like, hey, I have a little mini rocket launcher here. I'm going to come from behind the little desert rocks, and I'm going to shoot it if you don't give me the girl. And Belloc is a little smarter than Jones gives him credit for, and is like, you know what? Blow it up. That's fine. We don't care. It's all good. And by the way, as I'm saying this and looking at the screen on the Ark, it has like a little cotton tailored blanket to match the exact outline of the Ark. It's almost like the Nazis knew exact dimensions of the Ark and all of the little poppy outy things of it. Like everything that was going to emerge from it and like how the top was going to look and everything. And they made like this own little like blanket for it. And then they were like, we got this appropriate little blanket for it. Long story short, too late. That's a Clue reference. Jones does not blow up the Ark of the Covenant. He pusses out. And him and Marion get strapped to this wooden pole. And they are forced to watch this Nazi ceremony. Because, of course, the Nazis wouldn't just kill them. And, of course, everything happened exactly how it happened. That nothing actually happened the way Indiana Jones wanted it to happen. And you know what? Sometimes that's all it takes. You're in the right place at the right time. Or the wrong place at the right time. Or the wrong time at the right place? I don't know. Sometimes life just works out. And they're strapped to this pole. And they're hating life. Except a little bit of James. Except a little bit of Harrison Ford is smiling because, OMGs, he's Harrison Ford. And he knows what's about to happen. And all these Nazis are super greedy and are like, hey, let's open it. And like, let's look at it. And like, the Ark of the Covenant is mine, yo. And they all melt. Because they all suck. And God's love will melt your face. That's what this movie has sold me. So the moral of the story is, if you look at God's love, you will be melted into a bazillion particles, screaming your face off, literally, and dying. Less than instantaneously, in a gruesome, terrible, fiery pit of doom. Also, Indiana opened his eyes way faster than I think I would have. I think I would have closed my eyes for literally 31 days and then been like, hey, I think it might be time to open it since I haven't heard a can opener in 31 days. But him, he's like, I think 20 seconds after all of the storm has happened is a good time to open my eyes. And boom, his eyes are opened. But that's what makes the difference between Indiana Jones and me. Then they're like, okay, where's the Ark now? Blah, 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 blah. This was a really important mission to me. It brought back the old love of my life. Blah, blah, blah. Museum. They should get the Ark. Blah, blah, blah. And then the government guys are just like, hey, you know what? It's fine. We put it someplace safe. And it ends up in a warehouse that you may or may not see. Again, in Crystal Skull, I hope to God you don't see it because that movie is garbage. But Harrison Ford's still Harrison Ford, and I love that man to death. Don't say that. He might die. But this arc gets put in a warehouse full of other shady little wood boxes that probably tell every secret of the universe ever and are just kind of shoved into this box, which really shows you, like, hey, why isn't that a movie? Like, there should be a movie series that takes one of these boxes and then shows the story of it, just like at random. Like, it doesn't matter. It could be like the Men in Black one, but it's just like, hey, grab this box. What's inside? What's inside? We don't know. It's a box. They all look the same. It's a generic box. That's where the fun comes from. Finding out. But we end on a huge ass warehouse full of all these generic boxes, and we don't know what happened to it because they want us to watch the next Indiana Jones, which we will, which won't be as good because it'll be Temple of Doom and it'll be a prequel. And then we'll watch the next one, which will be Last Crusade, which is great because Sean Connery is in it and a blonde girl, and we'll think that she's okay, but she won't be okay. And then there's some more chases, and it's a good movie. It's better than Temple. And then we'll fast forward 20-ish years, and we'll get to Crystal Skull, which will not be okay. And there'll be Shia LaBeouf, and there'll be monkeys and ants, and none of it will be okay. But we'll just watch it because of nostalgia and because, Spielberg tells us we should. Anyways, God's love will melt your face.